I'll call to order the General Government Consumer and Small Business Protection Committee. Colleagues, today is May 4th, 2011. We are here for the purpose of a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2499, 2919, 3291, and 3332. And I think we will most likely just go in order or at least address the representatives who are here because they all think they're pretty important. So, that being said, I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2499. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2499 comes with a vote of 53-7 in the House. There's no revenue impact. You have been provided with a fiscal impact statement on the measure in your packets. The measure transfers regulatory duties relating to appraisal management companies from DCBS to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board. It makes a number of additional changes, but since Representative Holby's here, I don't want to steal his thunder, so I'll stop there.
Representative Holby.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you very much for having this public hearing today. For the record, my name's Paul Holby, State Representative from District 8. I wanted to just give you a primer on this bill. It has been a bill that was actually passed by the legislature in 2010. And at that time, there was an amendment put into the bill that transferred the regulating authority from the Appraisal Licensure Board in the original bill to DCBS. Since that time, there's been several work groups that DCBS has held to implement this program. And the federal government, the Dodd-Frank Act, also came out and then directed that states shall regulate appraisal management companies, and that the licensing agency for appraisers will be the ones that regulate the appraisal management companies, which is the Appraisal Licensure Board. Which it was the main focus of this bill was shifting that authority back to the Appraisal Licensure Board in compliance with the Dodd-Frank Act. And in so doing, we also spent a lot of work group time, not only with the DCBS, but since that time, trying to bring this bill into compliance with the Dodd-Frank Act, which is mostly what this bill now does. And it doesn't really change any of the fee structures or any of those things. It essentially just transfers the regulating authority to DCBS. That's sort of it in a nutshell. There's some little pieces here and there that are pretty intricate, pretty specific to the industry. It's I've been working on it for more than a year, and there's other people in this room that can elaborate on many of the specifics of the bill that have also been engaged in this. The financial industry and the realtors have been weighing in along the line, and I do want to note a bit of thanks to Wells Fargo, actually, Mr. Tim O'Brien, who weighed in from the national perspective of appraisal management companies, and the realtors. I don't know that there's any opposition to this bill. I think everybody has agreed that it does the job of complying to federal regulation and puts Oregon in place to fulfill the purpose and the mission of this bill. So happy to answer any specific questions that I can off the top of my head if you have any.
One thing that I would be concerned about is passing it out with only the Democrats here. In committee, what was the vote count like? Do you recall?
The committee was unanimous. On the floor, we did have, you probably have the record, six or seven no votes. And there was nobody that spoke against the bill, but I did sort of hear there were some concerns that there was a fee in the bill. And obviously there is a fee in the bill, but it was a fee that's already existed over in DCBS, and it's being transferred over to the Appraisal Licensure Board, and that may have caused some concerns, and we didn't really clarify that on the floor because the question was never asked. That, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know that I've heard much any other discussion about it.
Okay. Thank you. Question. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm tempted to grill Representative Hulvey with some technical questions, but I just want to take the opportunity to thank Representative Hulvey and DCBS and everyone who's been working hard on this. I know there were a lot of meetings since the amendment was adopted, I believe, in this room last year that changed the oversight to DCBS, and had we had some sort of working crystal ball at the time, I think we would have been able to avoid changing it back to the Appraisal Management Board. But I just want to thank everyone who's worked so hard on this issue and thank them for all their hard work, and look forward to seeing this go forward, and hopefully there won't be some other federal legislation that requires that we change it again.
Yeah, I thank you. Just a comment. I think we're in pretty good shape as far as being in compliance, unless the federal government comes up with a new set of legislation, a new set of rules. I think this bill is going to suffice for the state of Oregon and accomplish what needs to be done. I'm not hearing of any other amendments that need to be made to the bill. It's been pretty well vetted.
What's the relating to clause?
Appraisal management.
Relating to appraisal management companies.
Okay. All right. That's a tough one. All right. Thank you very much, Representative. Could we please bring up, Wayne Richard and Diane Forsberg? Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Wayne Richards, and I am a member of the Appraisal Institute and a representative of the Appraisers Coalition. We are here representing the Coalition and the Appraisal Institute, and our organizations are in support of the House Bill 2499-A. House Bill 2499-A will bring Oregon into compliance with the newly enacted federal law as established by the Dodd-Frank Act. It moves the regulation of the appraisal management companies, also known as AMCs, operating in the state of Oregon from the Department of Consumer and Business Affairs over to the Oregon Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board. Oregon's bill on such AMC legislation passed last February 2010 under a special session and prior to the passage of the federal legislation. House Bill 2499-A represents a conclusion of a number of regulator and stakeholder work group meetings attended by all concerned parties, and no stakeholders testified in opposition to the House Bill 2499. The Oregon Appraisers Coalition and the Greater Oregon Chapter of the Appraisal Institute and the Portland Rose City Chapter of the National Association of Independent Fee Appraisers all support the passage of House Bill 2499-A. And we are especially grateful for efforts by Representative Hulvey and Representative Jean Wisnett in the shepherding of this legislation this session. And we ask for your support in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And for the record, my name is Diane Forsberg. I'm a certified residential appraiser and serving as the president of the Oregon Appraisers Coalition and board member of the National Association of Independent Fee Appraisers, just here to support and answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Bob Keith.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bob Keith. I am the administrator for the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, who is very pleased to have been one of the partners in this collaborative effort to bring House Bill 2499 to where it is at today. One thing that hasn't been said yet is that this bill was based on a model bill which is now being used across the country as the beginning point for other state regulatory agencies to implement similar legislation. As has been previously mentioned, the Dodd-Frank Act does mandate that appraisal management companies be regulated by state regulatory appraiser boards such as ours. What hasn't also been said yet is the fact that this federal act has built into it certain federal oversight of the AMC regulatory programs, which includes a biannual audit by this federal agency known as the Appraisal Subcommittee. And part of what they'll be doing is checking to make sure that our agency is not issuing AMC registrations without them first having met certain minimum qualification criteria. They will be evaluating our effectiveness of the complaint process and the investigations that we undertake, including our enforcement activities. And we will be responsible for making timely reports to this federal agency on those activities. They will also be checking to ensure compliance with not only the Dodd-Frank Act, but other federal rules and regulations that will subsequently be adopted that will impact our operation. We will be responsible for the collection of registry fees, and Representative Holvey correctly indicated to you there will be no new fees created by this bill with the exception of this one. It's a fee that is that we are required by federal law to collect from appraisal management companies as a 100% pass-through to the appraisal subcommittee, and they will use that money to maintain a national registry of appraisal management companies and to fund other projects that are mandated by the federal bill. So in general, we will be audited every 2 years by the federal government to ensure maintenance of an effective regulatory program for appraisal management companies. Now, as it turns out, a very similar program of federal oversight is in place and is undertaken by the same federal agency I spoke of earlier, and their function is to do exactly the same thing in terms of their oversight of our activities with respect to real estate appraisers. And this is something that we have been in successful compliance with for the past 20 years. And so with that, I will say that the Appraiser Certification License Board is ready, willing, and able to take on the responsibilities of implementing this program under our agency and administering it in compliance with federal law. And that concludes my remarks. Thank you. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Keith. Any questions? All right. Colleagues, we've heard from Representative Holvey and people from the appraisal industry. There is no opposition to this bill. Does anybody else want to testify on House Bill 2499? We heard testimony that there is no opposition, that there was a work group that put this together. And so I think at this point I feel comfortable moving the bill along to the floor. So I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2499 and open a work session on House Bill 2499. Senator George, are you comfortable moving this?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2499 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved House Bill 2499 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm supportive of the bill, but, you know, it's just a legislative observation. We have a general fund and then another fund, and we're still grasping and figuring out how to control fees. And now the federal government's come up with a new mechanism to charge fees and not have to do anything. They have the states collect the fees for them and then pass them to the federal government. And so, yeah, federal government's figuring out a new way to raise taxes without raising taxes. So, but I'm supportive of the bill, Mr. Chair.
An astute point. Further discussion? Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Senator Bonamici?
Aye.
Senator Boquist?
Yeah.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Vice Chair George?
Aye.
Chair Shields?
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. I will refrain from wanting to have Senator Boquist carry it.
He might say exactly the wrong number.
Senator Monroe, Senator Bonamici, would you like to carry it?
I'd be happy to carry it.
Yeah, okay. Senator Bonamici will be the carrier for House Bill 2499. And I will close the work session on House Bill 2499 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2919. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2919 authorizes the Oregon Business Development Department to make grants to small businesses from the Building Opportunities for Oregon Small Business Today account if the business hires a veteran as a new full-time employee. Now, the measure came out with no fiscal or revenue impact. There were no amendments to the bill, and it passed the House on a vote of 44-16.
Representative Reed, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, I'm Tobias Reed, State Representative from District 27 in Beaverton. Hopefully this will be a fairly short explanation and a quick discussion. I'm mindful that there's at least one, perhaps more, members of the committee who knows substantially more about veterans issues than I do. This is a bill simply to facilitate greater use of the BOOST program, with which I'm sure you are familiar. It has a number of conditions. The bill simply adds being a veteran to that condition as a those conditions as a way of jumping quickly to easy access to the program, so that if a person is a veteran, they're able to use the program. And we've seen some good results from BOOST already. The Business Development Department points to its use around the state, a number of people hired, jobs retained, those sorts of things, and we'd like to help that continue. It's important to remember that the BOOST program is funded from some tax enforcement efforts, and it has a sunset on it, so this is a relatively short time frame that this specific program and provision would be used if it were passed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Questions? Senator George.
Representative, thank you very much for coming over. What was it was 16 votes no on the House side. What was the general opposition?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator George, I think it's always dangerous to put other motives with other people, but I think there was some testimony and some discussion about people who simply didn't like the BOOST program. My response to that was that's fine. The BOOST program is in law, and I'd like to help that be accessible to people, particularly veterans who have a reason and a particular urgency to find employment on returning from their service.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you. Representative Reed, I wanted to ask if you have data on whether there has been, you said that there's been a positive impact from the BOOST program. Are there more people now who are fit within this unemployed for at least 60 days than there are funds in the program? I'm wondering if this is going to be a meaningful change.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonamici, I don't think I have enough data to answer the question of whether it would be meaningful. There are obviously a variety of factors as to whether that would motivate an employer to use BOOST, most important of which, of course, is whether they have a business that's thriving and that needs additional employees. As I recall, the bill was constructed to be sort of as the name implies, a little boost for the employee or the employer that was thinking about hiring someone, that was just on the cusp of making that decision, and this would help them get across that gap of uncertainty. So, all the other data and stories we hear about the state of the economy suggests that number is likely growing, but there is, I think, additional capacity within the funds that BOOST is providing for more people to take advantage of it. We'd just like to make sure that a veteran could otherwise be in compliance with the conditions, but for the 60 days, doesn't have to wait the 60 days to take advantage of it.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you,
Senator Boquist.
I'm just curious, Representative. I mean, looked at the vote count. You know, obviously it wasn't party lines, but was it kind of just all over the place? I mean, some of the 16 that was a little here, a little there. We have a lot of those in the Senate side lately. I want you to know.
Mr. Chair, Senator Boquist, I appreciate the observation. I was just looking at a Senate bill that is headed to the House and might be to a committee I'm on, and wondering the same thing. I think your hypothesis is a good one.
Okay, thanks.
Representative Nolan is here too. Representative Nolan, would you like to join us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My apologies. I was in another committee.
Yeah.
Senator Shields, members of the committee. I'm Mary Nolan. I represent House District 36, Southwest Portland. Happy here mostly just to support what Representative Reed has already presented to you. And be available for questions. And basically, we're trying to find ways to address a gap that we have identified in businesses' ability to expand their workforce by providing some additional loans and grants to help them get started so that they can address demand that they've got that will create employment and stabilize our communities.
One thing that I picked up on when we're calling in payroll for our business in last year, the people who are taking the payroll information, the hours that we're calling in to report, often would promote federal tax credits or federal programs that that our business could be interested in or eligible in. I was wondering, have you heard of anyone from the Business Development Department reaching out to, you know, Paychex or ADP in order to help promote this and make sure that more businesses know that it's available?
Mr. Chair, I don't have specifics with those sorts of services, but I know that the Business Development Department is making outreach. It's probably, I suspect, at least consistent with what I've heard, it's more to the employers as opposed to the payroll services, but it's a good suggestion, and I'll try to make sure that they know about that.
Yeah, it just seemed to be a pretty effective way to to spread the word.
Makes sense.
All right. Any further discussion, questions? Okay. I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2919 and open a work session on House Bill 2919.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2919 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved House Bill 2919 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator George.
I can always give my speech. about how we take the tax code and we give out special favors, and we need to look at having a more fair tax system so we don't have to cut loopholes in it to make employment possible. And you shouldn't have to access a whole series of government programs. I will vote for this bill, but I just am really concerned. I got today from Senator Morse the list of tax credits that are sitting down on the Tax Credit Committee. And it was really, really shocking to see what the legislature does. We don't look at big policy. We continue to cut little holes to try to make it easier for people to access capital or money or have a lower tax rate. Bottom line is that I hope sometime in the future we don't have to resort to this. We can actually do real tax reform in the state. So, anyway, there's my tirade, which is becoming more common.
It's getting that point of the session.
I think so.
Mr. Chair.
Well taken.
I just wanted to say that I'm glad to hear Senator George say that, because I know there's a lot of people in this building who are interested in comprehensive tax reform. Some may be, even be in this room, nodding his head. Many.
All right. Senator Monroe.
Yeah, I was a little shocked and appalled that there would be that many votes on the west end of this building against something to help veterans. Most of us are trying to do all we can for the veterans to make sure that they have economic vitality when they come back and are less inclined to kill themselves, which a number of them do, and so on. So I looked at that vote count and I thought, what? So I would expect that when this bill comes to the floor of the Senate, it will either be unanimous or nearly unanimous. Especially if I carry it, Mr. Chair.
I'll vote for this one.
All right. Are we in work session?
Yes. Senator Work Session and Representative Nolan, Senator, I want to know, I pointed out here that, I mean, Senator George raised the issue of these tax credits, and we were asked to put input, and I used this pen and probably put no next to at least half of those that were on that list. So.
Good. I'm looking forward to that list. Okay. Debbie, could you please call the roll?
Senator Bonamici?
Aye.
Senator Boquist?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Vice Chair George?
Aye.
Chair Shields?
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. And Senator Monroe, would you like to carry that?
I would love to carry this.
I will close the work session on House Bill 2919. Senator Monroe will be the carrier on House Bill 2919. And I will open a public hearing on House Bill 3332. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3332 came to the House on a vote of 59-0. The measure has no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact. It authorizes the Department of Agriculture to adopt rules to waive routine inspections for one or more food types of food establishments if the food establishment consists solely of selling prepackaged foods and beverages produced by a commercial food manufacturer or processor, if the sale of the food or beverage is not a major business activity of the food establishment, and if the department determines that waiving an inspection does not present a significant risk to the public. It does stipulate that a food establishment for which the department waives a routine inspection is still subject to inspection at the discretion of the department.
All right. Well done. Representative Poyle.
Hi, I'm Val Hoyle. I represent West Eugene and Junction City, and thank you very much for hearing my testimony today. I sponsored this bill with Representative Widener from Yamhill County. I'm not sure where he is, but like my mom always said, when you want something done, ask a busy woman. So that's why I'm here to talk to you about this great bill that passed unanimously in the House. This bill came about due to a request by the Department of Agriculture and from some businesses because the reality of how we sell products, consumer need, and how people do business have changed. And so when you have a company like, say, an Office Max or Staples, and they sell prepackaged food, granola bars or licorice or something, where they're not a primarily selling food, it's not a food selling establishment. They, under current statute, Chapter 616, are the Department of Agriculture is supposed to inspect those establishments to make sure that they're handling food correctly. But realistically, they don't need to, the Department of Agriculture would like the ability to not inspect those facilities. This wouldn't be food that's frozen or refrigerated. It really is prepackaged food where the safety of that food is pretty certain. We thought that this was a good bill. It was a reasonable request, and it updates the statute to fit into the current reality of how we buy and sell products. So we'd love to ask for your support. It's a simple bill, a good bill.
Okay. Questions? Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hoyle, you gave one example of the granola bars, or I think you said licorice, at Office Max. Are there some other instances where this might apply? I'm just trying to think of what it's targeted to.
It really is stores like a... It came up literally with Office Max and Staples were the examples and the companies that the Department of Agriculture used as an example. I'm trying to think of some other stores. I mean, a grocery store, because they carry produce, right, would be subject to the oversight from the Department of Ag. So we don't want to let anyone off the hook or, we want to make sure to keep consumers safe. I can't really think of other examples. I'm sorry.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I can just ask a follow-up. Say, for example, you go to Borders Books or Powell's or something, and you're checking out, and they have like a box of candy bars or
that would be
but right now. My question is, right now the Department of Agriculture has to inspect them because they have a
under the statute. The Department of Agriculture is supposed to inspect these companies, but in reality, they don't. So they came to us and said, "Look, this is what the statute says. This is what we're supposed to do. We aren't actually doing this right now, and we'd like to be in compliance with the law."
Understood. Thank you.
Yep. All right. So we should probably move through this one before we start talking about the FDA.
Before we start talking about the FDA. Correct.
All right. Is there any further discussion on this bill? Representative Poyle, thank you very much.
Bill should pass. Yes, thank you.
Chair.
Yes, Senator Monroe.
Hey, Representative Hoyle, you represent Junction City. Do you also represent Monroe?
I do not. I don't. I'm sorry, but I'm a big fan of yours. If that counts for anything.
Very nice. Very nice. That's a unanimous vote right there.
I represent Monroe.
Thank you.
Would anybody else like to testify on House Bill 3332? All right. I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3332 and open a work session on House Bill 3332.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3332. 3332 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved House Bill 3332 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion?
Mr. Chair,
Senator
I'll support this bill only if the committee agrees that we won't have a discussion on the floor about bread and buns.
Or any half-baked, debate on the floor?
All right. Great. Debbie, could you please call the roll?
Carrying it.
Senator Bonamici?
Aye.
Senator Goldquist?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Vice Chair George?
Aye.
Chair Shields?
Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Senator
Bonamici won't be asked questions like everybody else was.
Senator Gerard should carry it.
My dear.
Can I appoint Senator
Gerard? Sure. Yep. Nothing's stopping you, Mr. Chair.
I think Senator Gerard should carry this bill on the floor.
That was a joke.
And I will... Actually, no, I should probably... He just carry it to its grave. Yeah. Senator Bonamici, will you carry this bill? I'd have you do it for that.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. I'll carry it. Okay. I guess I asked.
All right, so I will close the work session on House Bill 3332 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3291. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3291 came with a vote of 59-0 from the House. It has a minimal fiscal, no revenue impact, no amendments. The measure requires agencies audited by the Secretary of State to disclose the results of the audit and submit a written report about the changes the agency made or is making in response to the audit to the Legislative Assembly within 6 months and to the appropriate subcommittee of joint ways and means at all hearings regarding the agency's budget for 3 years. I don't have to say anything else because they're here talking about it. Sure.
Thank you. And Patrick, there was a similar bill on the Senate side?
Yes, this committee did move a bill that was similar to this. The key difference, I believe, is the requirement to testify before Joint Ways and Means Subcommittee.
That's right.
Mr. Chair. Okay. And I believe this bill is explicit about requiring a written report, whereas the bill that we passed was not explicit of a written report being required.
Okay. So obviously the Senate bill is superior.
As always.
Representative Hunt, welcome to the committee.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Dave Hunt from Clackamas County. This, as your committee administrator reported, House Bill 3291 really does connect one of those things that I think is often seems disconnected in this building. I mean, we often talk about the fact that we don't audit enough. I actually think, I mean, I was amazed when I first came into the legislature how much auditing we actually do, we, a.k.a. the Secretary of State. But it's amazing how many audits they're doing on a regular basis and what good, solid accountability recommendations are coming out of that. But there really is a gap between the good work they're doing and what is actually happening in the agency. I've seen some agencies completely embrace their recommendations and implement them, and others where they just kind of land with a thud and never get implemented.
I know the thud lately. Barry knows what I'm talking about.
So I think House Bill 3291 really helps connect those two together, and it puts the legislature as the link, appropriately so, right in the middle by requiring that where an audit has been made, that there's a report back to the legislature from that agency, not just responding to it, but specifically going through the steps that have been recommended by the audit that agency is taking to implement the recommendations of the audit. So I think this is a key missing accountability mechanism. Gives us an opportunity to take a stronger role as a legislature and as a state in making sure that linkage is made. And it's good for transparency, good for government efficiency, good for making sure that Senator Monroe and our colleagues down in Ways and Means have more money to spend on services.
Mr. Peck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Barry Peck, Deputy Secretary of State, and I won't repeat all of the good things the representative next to me said, only to mention a couple of other points from our perspective why this is a useful form of follow-up and accountability on our audits, and that is that in some cases, while we see fairly high levels of agencies implementing our recommendations, some of them take more time to implement. We just released a follow-up audit on the Willamette ESD, and they're making good progress on a lot of the issues we identified, but there are some of them, perhaps, that are
are more fundamental cultural changes that take more than just a year. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to see regular follow-up and regular feedback as to progress being made, even when many things get done quickly. Sort of a longer-term process, and then there are other instances where an agency may just simply disagree or with our interpretation, and it is good to have a public setting where those issues can be aired and examined by another body like the legislature. And then finally, again, as I mentioned in testifying on Senate Bill 907, sometimes an agency needs resources or other obstacles removed in order to be able to implement one of our recommendations, and so reporting to the subcommittees during their budget hearings is a good way to identify perhaps some resource needs or some changes in statute that need to be made to facilitate implementing those recommendations. And so it's a good forum for those conversations to happen. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
I think that's a great idea. Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm very supportive. I got a series of questions and varying understandings. I might be the sole reason that Governor vetoes this bill. But having said that, a couple observations in the bill.
To support the Senate bill.
Yeah. Right. No. In paragraph 2 of the bill, I would just outline that the policies of the co-speakers and the president, two of the ways and means now, is to have the joint subcommittees are now asking policy committees to review key performance objectives along with background information on the agency. And so some of us have delved into this, and Secretary Brown and Deputy Secretary Pack have been very gracious in providing our committee auditing 101 so that we understand the audits, what we are, what we're looking at, how the procedures work. And it is flat amazing the amount of auditing we really do that none of us knew anything about. Now, the problem with that is, of course, you have to go back to the agency to ask them the questions, and, of course, you might as well be walking around with a deer target on your back when you're doing that. So, at this point, this is a great bill.
Well, because your fiscals go up that
time. That's right. And I want to address that. The interesting thing is because under the auditing process we learned from the Secretary is the state agency is already required to come back with 4 or 5 different responses combining of, yes, we recognize the problem, here's what we're doing to fix it, this is when we're going to have it done, and, you know, who can discuss it and bring forth this information. So the reason there's really no fiscal on this is they're already doing that now, and to report to the Legislative Assembly is really easy because it's just a click on that global send button, you know, where it goes to, and it sends it out to them already. So that thing is there. The second thing that we learned from the Secretary of State's office that's important that's in the bill is that the 3-year period, and the importance of the 3-year period boils down to the fact that in any given biennium, we have 3 federal years involved in it. We have 3 different federal fiscal years. And so in order to have a clear picture of a biennium's impact, you have to have 3 years going backwards to grasp that federal fiscal picture. The warning I would point out to everybody is like on our committee, is that when we complied with the co-speakers and the president and got involved with the subcommittee, is they keep giving you more tasks. And I can assure you this is one of them that's going to happen, is they're going to get the audits and turn around to the policy committee, Mr. Chair, which you're chairing one, and say, oh, you're responsible for this agency, so you go find out this information and bring it back to us. So that is one of the things, and I would point out historically, because it was brought to us lastly, that we've done this in the past, and LFO gets overwhelmed, which is why, again, why the subcommittees are going out to the policy committees and tasking the policy committees to do the review on these. But this is a great bill. It's long overdue, and I appreciate both, because the Secretary of State brought one forward, and the House members bringing it forward.
Yeah. I would just say, Mr. Chair, Senator Boquist, I think you're right, LFO and the subcommittees get completely overwhelmed, obviously, during the session. I actually think there is an opportunity, and you've got some former and current Ways and Means Subcommittee co-chairs on this committee, but I think during the interim there is an opportunity for subcommittees to be more effectively utilized, and I think there is capacity, during the interim at least, to be able to take on some of these specific issues. I would agree with you during the session. I don't see how there's any additional for workload either for the subcommittees or for LFO staff. But I think there is capacity in the interim, and that's where I think a lot of this work could be done in terms of this oversight and review.
Mm-hmm. So, Barry, which bill do you like
that out?
Mr. Chair, I think they're both good bills. Should pass.
I might just say, Mr. Chair, this bill has already achieved 59 yes votes in the House. Just saying.
Just a question, which is, I just want to confirm something for the record, because Senator Boakley said something about hitting the send button. It's my understanding that the written report will be submitted online to the Legislative Assembly. Is that correct? Because we had a discussion, was it in this committee or in those of us who are on the Education Committee?
Electronic records.
Right, about electronic records and whether somebody can ask for one, a hard copy if they want one, but it will be submitted electronically so that we're not all getting stacks of paper. We request if we want it in writing, but it comes electronically. Is that correct?
I think, Mr. Chair, Senator Bonamici, as I'm reading, I think the bill is silent as to that. I would certainly have no objection to that as an addition, but
Mr. Packney, I have a view. Mr. Chair, Senator Bonamici, we did discuss this a few weeks ago in that there are other laws in place that govern how agencies report to the legislature, and those are also under some debate this session for alteration. So those are provided electronically or upon written request or in writing upon request.
Thank you. I just wanted to get that on record.
So not in the bill, but that's an existing practice.
Senator Boakley.
And I would point out that, you know, the Secretary of State does have full disclosure, and that is, I mean, the response electronically, even from the agency, could refer straight to the Secretary of State's webpage, because all of the audits are posted publicly. You can link directly to the audit, see what the response was from the agency and everything else. Very transparent. Had no clue it was there, but...
Yeah, well, I think this is rightfully is brought to the attention of the public then. Good. Well, anything else, gentlemen? I appreciate it. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 3291, and we are adjourned.
Oh, you're good.